desire your prayers this morning.
Thank the Lord for the songs. Thank the Lord that we have the privilege to know that King Jesus will roll all of our burdens away. And we can be encouraged and inspired to know that we are on the winning side. One of those verses says, constant victory my Savior gives to me. But then there was a qualification to it. See, as I press on to the goal. See, as I press on to the goal, then I can have constant victory. And that's something that we always want to endeavor to have. And it's just, if that's really, when you think about it, it's part of any messages about victory. If you have the victory by the help of the Lord, what can you do to maintain it? And if you don't have the victory, you can get the victory. So we can be encouraged by that this morning. Thought this morning is constraining love. And that word constraining, the root word is constrain. And when you think of that word, when you think of something that's constraining, all right, there's automatically maybe things that come to your mind. And I would ask you this morning, when you think of the word constraining, do you think of that as something positive? Or is it more likely when you think of something that constrains, you think of it as more than something negative? All right. Depend on maybe what you're thinking. I mean, I would the average person, and I know you, that the saint is not an average person. We'll say that to start off with. But the average person, if you talk about something that's going to constrain, they're going to think of it as something that's negative. That's the way it is. So now when you, and I know I said the saint is not an average person. So we understand when we see a words like this put together, it makes sense to us. It makes sense to us because we know God's word. But when you think about the average person, that when you say, if you mix these two words together, constrain and love, the average person is going to be, wait a minute, do those two things go together? Right? Love, isn't love a freedom and all this? But there's a purpose here, right? So these two, they may seem like it. And obviously we know about this and you probably know where I'm going with this. But we know this is so because we know God's word. So we know the word constrain. It's like it means a constrict or a limitation. It's providing a bounds to something. So let's go to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and the 14th and the 15th verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15.
For the love of Christ constraineth us,
because we thus judge. But that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So this word here is saying, for the love of God, God's love constraineth us. Because we thus judge that if one died, then we all are dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So by the help of the Lord this morning, I want to endeavor to touch on some of the aspects of the love of God, right? And we're going to talk about how we get to this point where God's love constrains us. And what that means, in the constraint, there's a freedom and there's a joy, but there's just something about what all that God has done for us that gives us some boundaries, what it does. And by the help of the Lord, we'll endeavor to explain that this morning. So it's going to begin with, number one, we're going to talk about how does God's love constrain us? First of all, his love for us, right? That, so it begins with that. So for number one is his love for us. And there's very familiar scriptures that we know about that we can turn to, that some of them we wouldn't even have to turn to. We can quote them by heart, couldn't we? What about God's love for us? How is his love for us so important? What's one of, if you said the most famous scripture in the Bible, what is it? It's John 3:16, right? So we recognize for God so loved the world. His love was so strong for each and every one of us and for all of his creation. For God so loved the world that he sent his son. He sent his only begotten son. His son that was sitting on the right hand with him there in heaven. But he sent his only son that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I mean, some of us this morning, we have sons. But could you imagine having your son be the sacrifice for the saving of somebody else? I mean, that would be quite a challenge, wouldn't it? When we think about, we remember back when, Abraham, when he had, when God was almost required of him, wanted to see where his heart was, wanted him to sacrifice. He was willing. God extended love and mercy and provided a different sacrifice. But we recognize that's some kind of love, isn't it? That God Almighty sent his only begotten son to die for each and every one of us. So we can recognize that's a lot of love. That's some strong love to have for us. And to think, there's another verse that relates to this. It's in Romans. It's the 5th chapter and the 8th verse. Because if we think about why he did this even while we were in the condition that we were in. Right? So Romans 5:8, it goes right along with John 3:16. For God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we realize now that he's commanded, he gave his love for each and every one of us while we were in a condition, really, when you think about it, where we were really unlovable. We were in a condition of not even being able to be loved. And yet, while we were in that condition, he commanded his love toward us. That while we were yet in sin, just for the hope. We talked about it. We sung a song about that. Talked about it a little bit this morning in Sunday school. He sent his son for a hope. For the hope, for the fact that I know that these are my children, my creation in the world. They're lost and undone right now. But I'm going to give an opportunity just for the hope that they come to a mind where they say, I realize my condition and I want to be free from this. So he sent his son just for a hope. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. That's some kind of love, isn't it? Just for the hope. Just for the possibility that there's a soul that could be saved. And he sent his son for that. You know, what was in us? You know, was there? We could all proclaim that there was a point in time. If you're endeavoring to serve the Lord now, thank the Lord. But we can look back on our lives and recognize at one point, maybe we didn't even have a desire. Maybe we did have a desire, but it wasn't what it should have been. Yeah, there was no righteousness within us. There was nothing good about us. We were wicked and helpless and undone. And even, think about this. He died for us even before we even existed. Before we were even, he knew about us. He knows all things. So we didn't know that we existed, but he was thinking about us even before we could think about ourselves. Fathom that in your mind. Even before he could think about your own self, he was thinking about you. That's some love now, right?
So we recognize the love that he has for each and every one of us. And then we think about, we consider the lengths of his love and what he was willing to go through for each and every one of us. Isn't that wonderful? All the things that he was willing to go for me, even before I could think about my own self. How many times have we sung number 484?
I don't know, hundreds, thousands. I mean, how many?
But you, this isn't it. Every time that you sing it, when you try to fathom in your mind, do you grasp it? Or every time it's like you rehearse that in your mind over and over again, and you just, how can this be so? You know what is the verse says? If we with ink, the ocean. Every time we sing it, you start thinking about it in your mind, and you still can't fathom it. You know, the earth is 70% water. Is that correct? I believe it is. All of it ink. We with ink, the ocean fill just full. Everywhere that you see water, there's ink. And all of us were scribes. All the, how many billion? 8 billion now. And all them, every man a scribe by trait. And then we look and we see the sky, and all of the, everywhere you look, all you see is sky, right? Doesn't matter where you are in the world, look up and what do you see? Sky. Can you ever see the end of it? Do you see the end of it? Do you see the beginning of it? All you see is sky. And again, we every time we sing it, we try to fathom this in our mind, that if we were all scribes and we endeavored to write about his love all over the sky, to recognize that there's not enough of it. There's not enough. There's not enough sky. And even if there was enough sky, we would run out of ink. It would drain the oceans dry. Can we fathom? We can't fathom it. So we can't even comprehend the love that he has towards us. It's beyond our comprehension. But we endeavor to grasp a hold of it. That's why we get saved, don't we? Because we say, I know I don't fully understand, God, how much you love me, but I know you love me enough to make an opportunity for me and make a way for me to be able to live a life pleasing and honoring to you. Not only pleasing and honoring to you, but live a life that would be a blessing and a help to my own self. It's just a better life with God is just better. And then to be in a help and encouragement to somebody else, that's a blessing, isn't it? And then we sing from time to time about Jesus. He gave his life for me. Yes. Isn't it seem reasonable that I should give him mine?
Yes.
That I would endeavor to try to reciprocate his love?
Yes.
So that's the second aspect of this. Me endeavoring to reciprocate the love that he has shown to me, make an attempt to give some back to him. I don't want to miss the bell this. So the songwriter said, since Jesus gave his life for me, shall I not give him mine? He gave his life for me. Was he forced? Well, did God say, I'm going to make you do this? Did he have some struggles along the way? He did, right. Why do you think God orchestrated that Jesus Christ, his son, would have I say struggle, but just have some need some reassurance. Let's say it that way, that he was going to need some reassurance. Yeah. That's all part of his plan. Because as we go through this life and as we learn and we give our lives back to God, don't we need some reassurance sometime? So he organized it and worked it out in such a way that his son had to go and pray a few times, right? To say, if it's all possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but I want your will to be done. So as we endeavor to reciprocate God's love back to him, maybe there's times in our lives when we go through things, when we're in the midst of trial, when we're in the midst of tests, when there's things going on all around us, that we have to say, God, I need some more help here. I need some more strength. I need you to come in and renew me. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So we have the same, we have our own. Jesus had a free will, and we have one too. But you know, the same opportunity that was available to him, they're available to us too. We can call on that same God, and we can look and know that God Almighty, you are faithful to your son Jesus, and now I'm one of your children. I'm your son now. I'm your daughter now. And when I stand in need, I can call upon you. And you can come to my rescue. Thank the Lord. Amen. Why do we have this love for God? We're endeavoring to reciprocate his love. It's because there's another familiar verse in 1 John, the 4th chapter and the 19th verse. 1 John 4 and 19.
We love him.
It says, we love him
because he first loved us.
Amen. He is the originator of love.
Yes.
We love him because he first loved us. This is, the writer said, the foundation of our love to God. He showed love to us, and then we endeavor to show that love right back to him. It's our obligation, it's our gratitude that we are our influence in terms of the love that we have for him is because, all because of his love for each and every one of us. And that's what we love him, because he first loved us. And then we endeavor to reciprocate that love back to God. So his love for us, we endeavor to reciprocate that love. And then while we're doing that, he comes and he brings his love. He gives us that same love. He puts it in our hearts. So the third one would be his love in our heart. We get the same love that he had for us, he puts that in our hearts. And then what that allows us to do is to be able to have love for one another. So these three and four, they kind of work together, because we get the God's love in our hearts, and then he gives us a love for our fellow man, gives us a love for souls. So the third one would be the God's love in our hearts. So love in our hearts. And then now that we have that love in our hearts, then we can have a love for souls. And a love for souls has an effect on each and every one of us in a way. And I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but God knows all about it. We're going to go through the scriptures to cover this. But the point being, because now God's love is within us, now we have a love and a care and a concern for those around us. And then we have a greater understanding of God's love that constrains us. Because now, when it comes to my relationship with God and what His love constrains me, is because now I recognize it's more than just about me. Now there's a concern because I don't want to be a hindrance to somebody else. So that's why His love constrains me, because I don't want somebody to look, well, look at brother so-and-so, look at sister so-and-so, look at what they're doing, and they seem to be all right. See, His love constrains me now because it's not just about me. Yeah. Now there's others that are looking on, and now I have to be concerned about that.
Yeah.
So that's the fourth aspect of it, is a love for souls that now affects what I do. Because I have somebody looking at me now. Now I have a responsibility, not only for my own soul, but because others are looking at me, I have a responsibility for them as well. And now His love is constraining me because I have a concern for others. And I don't want to be a reason for somebody to fall away from God because of something that I did. Lord, have mercy. So now number four is our love for souls. So now let's look at some more verses of scripture. It's amazing to think about these verses. Some of these verses was in our Sunday school lesson this morning. And there are times, Lord forgive me, there's times that I'm able to study the Sunday school lesson, and I'm just being honest with you this morning, saints. Sometimes I'm able to look at the lesson in advance and have an idea of what it's going to be about, and there's other times that I'm not able to do that. May the Lord help me to do better. But I didn't know what the verses were in the Sunday school lesson, and we started reading the lesson, and I was like, oh, well, thank the Lord. Yeah. Amen. So let's turn to the fifth chapter of Romans this morning. And begin reading at the first verse and read down through verse number 5. Romans 5 and 1 through 5.
Therefore, being justified by faith,
we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto His grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God.
Not only so,
but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Now here's the essence of it here, this fifth verse. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So we don't have to be ashamed of the hope that we have, because of the love that God showed for each and every one of us now, because His love is now shed abroad in our hearts. It's brought in by the Holy Ghost, and now it's up to us. It's given by the Holy Ghost, and now when His love gets in our hearts, now it just flows out. So that's why we have a love, and we have a care, and we have a concern for those that are lost. Because once we've experienced it our own selves, we want others to be able to experience it. When we see others that are going through life just so miserable, and just the devil just beating them this way and beating them that way and beating them down and beating them up and just tearing them up, and we just say, oh, would you just taste and see?
Yeah.
We recognize, I was once in that condition. Oh, but one day I recognize there was something better, and we just have that desire. We have that hope for others. That they would just recognize, would you just give God a chance?
Yeah.
And that love that He had for us is now, that God has had for us, is now within us. And we have that love for others.
Yeah.
And we hate to see them just getting beat up and beat down. Just give God a chance. And we endeavor by his grace to continue to live the life before him. Sometimes that's the best thing you can do. You can try to talk to him. And if God gives you that liberty, you should be faithful in doing that. But you know, the best thing that you can do is keep being faithful. Just keep living the life before him and allow God's love to just flow out of you. And somehow, some way, he'll work and he'll bless and he'll extend mercy just like he did for each and every one of us. Because you know what happens once we get his love down in our hearts? It changes us, don't us? Doesn't it? It makes a change. It changes us from the inside out. You know the verse, it says that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Yes. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So there's a change that takes place not only within us, it's in our attitudes. It's in our actions. And it's even in our desires. God changes all of that once his love gets within us. I'm still one of my most favorite, if I could say it that way, verses of a song is that song number 99. The second verse, it says, how wonderful that he would take this poor abode of sin and wash me in his precious blood. And now abide within. Not only just wash me and clean me up, but then make an abode within me. And to be able to have God's love flowing in my heart. And it changed my outlook and my attitude on life. It's amazing. It's beyond comprehension. How wonderful. Amen. That he would make his abode in me. Thank you, Lord. Yes. And now when I grasp that in my mind, because of his love for me, and I endeavor to reciprocate his love, he gives that love and it flows now in my heart. Now I see why his love is constraining me. Because as I go through my life, I want to do everything that would be pleasing and honoring to him. Yes. I don't want to go outside of the boundaries of his love and the things that he set in place for me. I'm constrained because of all that he has done for me. I don't want to do anything that would displease him in any way. That 15th verse of 2 Corinthians, it says, for he died for all, so that all those who might live they no longer live to themselves, but they live for him. Amen. So it's a recognition of the writer says this, the love of God being shed abroad in our hearts causes us to love God intensely. Yes. It causes us to love him intensely. And the effect, the writer says, produced by his love, which bears us away with itself. It says it causes us to love in the same way that he loved. Because of his influence that he has on each and every one of us, now the same love that he had for us, we have that love for others. And we recognize that God, as the writer said, so loved the world, he gave his only son. And as Christ so loved the world and he poured out his life for it, now we are influenced in that same way. And now what, by his grace and by his strength, what do we endeavor to do? We endeavor to do the same thing. Just as, you know, while he was here, his apostles, they endeavored to persuade and convince mankind of the love of God. And now that's on each and every one of us. Now we're his disciples, and it's because of his love that constrains us. Now we have that same care. We have that same concern for those around us. And his love, it constrains me to live in a way that's pleasing and honoring to him. within the boundaries, within the guidelines that he has established. And we, again, don't want to, we want to be an encouragement to somebody else. We want to be one that would uplift and encourage, not be one that would be a discouragement to some, because his love is constraining me. I don't want to be a hindrance to anyone in any kind of way. So the beginning of it and the end of it is all love. And it all began because of the love that God has for each and every one of us. So we recognize just naturally in life, there's constraints that exist. There's boundaries in life. You know, some of the simple ones that we can think about is just even within our own bodies. There's constraints. You know, we have joints and ligaments and different things, but they only go so far, right? I can bend my finger back as far as it'll go, but there's a constraint to it. There's a limit to it, isn't there? It can only go so far, and if I take it beyond those limits, what's going to happen? I'm going to break it. Now, I know there's some instances where there may be different ones that may have maybe double jointed, and maybe they can go a little bit further than you can, but that's not normal, right? But the normal aspect of it is that there's a boundary, there's a constraint. There's only so far. I can turn my head so far. I can turn it this way, and if I want to look behind me, I can't keep turning my head. It's going to be a problem. I have to turn my body. So there's constraints in nature, just in life in general. There's boundaries in relationships, isn't there? Right? Think about just a parent-child relationship. A parent endeavors to train up a child in the way that they should go. And they endeavor to put boundaries on things and teach them and direct them in the ways that they should go. And I remember growing up and being taught different things, and there were certain things that just because of what I was taught, I was not willing to go. I'm not going to challenge that boundary. I'm not going to do that. I don't want to have to deal with the consequences of going beyond the boundaries that my parents have set up. Don't do this. Don't do that. There's boundaries and limitations in relationships with our brothers and our sisters, aren't there? That's just part of life. There's boundaries in a marriage relationship. You understand what I'm you understand the point. The point being is that there's things that in life that we experience that we recognize that there's constraints to it. Right? So now we take that and apply it now to spiritual things. So I have a love, and I have a care, and I have a concern for the relationship that I have with my wife. There's love constrains me. You understand what I'm saying? But you know, and maybe there's times when maybe misunderstandings take place, and when I want to maybe get an attitude, but you know that love, it constrains me. Because I know my wife loves me and I love her, and we have a care and a concern for one another. And so there's a constraining to the love that we have one for another. So in thinking about how God's love can constrain us, he's given boundaries to us in his word. And when we think about boundaries, boundaries really can serve two purposes. They keep in, but they also keep out. So there's a protection. So God's love constraining us in terms of always want to do those things that's pleasing and honoring to him is because we don't want to invite something else in that's going to be a detriment and a hindrance to each and every one of us. So God has given us, he's really given us. So when we think about his constraining love and the boundaries and the limitations that he has placed just on us in our relationship with him and endeavoring to please him, those are that's our safeguard and that's our protection. So he's given us simple instructions in his word. In John, the 14th chapter and the 15th verse.
If you love me, keep my commandments.
If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, that's constraining love. That's his love constraining each and every one of us. So what's my responsibility? Keep his commandments. His commandments, in another place it says, they're not grievous. They're not grievous. The things that God requires of us as his trusting children, they're not grievous. So my responsibility is to keep his commandments. And in another place, in Micah, it's the 6th chapter and the 8th verse, it says, he has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? His love, again, constrains us. What does the Lord require of thee? He said, do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Yes. That, what is good? What doth the Lord do justly? Love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. And the writer said this about that verse. It's a passive and it's an active obedience towards God. And to walk with God implies constant prayerfulness and watchfulness. So as part of God's constraining love, it's me having an attitude of obedience always before God. It's a passive and it's an active obedience that I have toward God. And his love for each and every one of us, we recognize, as I mentioned, his commandments are not grievous. And when we recognize all the benefits that it offers each and every one of us, deliverance from sin, from our own self, and in deliverance and having victory in this present evil world, and just the blessings that he bestows upon us, not only in this life, the blessings now, but the blessings later.
Yes.
So when we think about this thought this morning, living for God is not a chore. It shouldn't be a chore. It's not a punishment. And as we go through our life and if we find ourselves coming across situations where it seems like it's becoming more difficult than it needs to be, what that is an opportunity for us to reevaluate God's love.
Yeah.
It's an opportunity for us to say, wait a minute, I got to take a step back here. Recognize that the enemy, first of all, is trying to fight against us. The brother mentioned about it, the verse of song that we sung, recognize, though all hell should endeavor to shake, until we leave this world, the enemy is out to get us. So he's not going to make it easy for us. So when we go through times in our lives where it seems like this is kind of difficult, it's kind of hard, we have to take a step back and recognize his love. Recognize, Lord, you've been good. And I need, Lord, would you just pour in some more of your love? I need some more of your love. Allow your love to fill in the gaps. When I recognize all that you've done for me, all that you've done for my fellow man, it's a wonderful, blessed privilege that we have to serve a living God. And that we can be used as vessels for his kingdom, that's a wonderful, blessed privilege that each and every one of us has. And you know the wonderful thing about it? The retirement plan is priceless.
Yes.
It's like the brother says, it's literally out of this world.
Yes.
Think about his love. Think about his goodness. Think about his grace that brought us through. As high as the heavens above, how great is the measure of our Father's love. How great is the measure of our Father's love. You know, again, we haven't made it yet. So what that means for each and every one of us is there's going to be a time when maybe there's a struggle. If you're not in it now, there may be a time where it seems like it's a struggle, where self would try to come in and bring different thoughts and things. But recognize that's the enemy trying to fight against you. That's the enemy trying to discourage you. And in those times, allow God's love to fill in the gaps. And recognize that his love, it constrains us. And it makes it so that you and I, it's our desire to always, as the verse says, to do justly, to love mercy and walk humbly with our God. Don't ever, Lord, want to be found in a place where I'm doing anything that is outside of your divine will, because I recognize all of your love, the love that you had for me, and the love that I endeavor to reciprocate back to you, and the love that you fill my heart with, that then now radiates out and is a help and an encouragement to somebody else. Saints, let's be encouraged to know that God's love is beyond our, I can't even describe what it is. It's just, we try to explain it. We try to expound upon it. But we just, this is the best way that we can associate with it, is recognize what it's doing for us in our lives. And how it's blessing and helping us individually. And then how it helps us to be an encouragement to those that are around us. So my encouragement for us this morning, keep being faithful. And if you haven't experienced this kind of love, this is the best time to start would be now. Amen. I desire your prayers that as I go through this life, that I would allow God's love to constrain me and enable me to be the man of God, the vessel of honor that he would have me to be. I desire your prayers. I appreciate your time and your attention this morning.